We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Badgers get the victory 41-24 over Nebraska last Saturday night at Camp Randall. Back in primetime at the Big House this weekend, which could be their either last chance at getting back into the playoff conversation or the death knell. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, you find his work at BadgersInsider.com. It's Ben Wergel. Benny.
Hi, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right, there's a few things with Michigan that seem to be concerning. Their quarterback, I like him. The kid who transferred from Ole Miss, Shea Patterson, very good quarterback. That could be a problem for the Badger defense.
I mean, you look at what has happened here the last 2 weeks in Big Ten play, and it's concerning for a Wisconsin fan going into this game. You look at what Nate Stanley did, over 270 yards, a career high for him, and then Adrian Martinez just really picked him apart, throwing close to 400. I mean, Nebraska threw for over 400 yards as a team and over 500 yards of offense. Last time that's happened to Wisconsin in the regular season was when they lost to Alabama in Paul Chryst's first game. Big difference between an Alabama team that played for the national championship and a winless Nebraska team. So there certainly are some concerns defensively, especially on the injury reports. There's four starters that are listed as questionable for this game. We'll get an updated injury report later this morning from Wisconsin. But you know, the secondary is going to be young. We knew that coming in with a bunch of redshirt sophomores and redshirt freshmen playing. But it turned out that they need a true freshman to play last week. Rashard Wildgoose had to step in and play some considerable snaps after Daron Harrell was injured in the first half, but had a head injury, did not return. So Shea Patterson is going to be the best quarterback they've faced this year, and these are some pretty good wide receivers too. So this is going to be a really good test, and this is going to be a game where Wisconsin really needs to bring their A-plus game in order to shut down this offense.
Talking with Ben Wergel, you can find his work again, BadgersInsider.com, and the defense was something that was a concern. There were some question marks about it. Second half, Saturday night, they give up 362 yards. Are they meeting expectations, do you think Jim Leonard would say, or are they severely underperforming?
Well, Jim Leonard would never say they're meeting expectations. That's just kind of the bulldog mentality that he has, that he knows that his group always can get better. And you know, we all could see this coming, guys. This isn't a huge shock that Wisconsin has really struggled defensively. I mean, look at all the key personnel they lost from a year ago in the secondary. I mean, Nick Nelson declared early. Derek Tindall was a really good four-year player. Nichol Jamerson was a very good free safety. This was a veteran secondary they had a year ago, and now you switch it to a redshirt freshman free safety, a redshirt sophomore cornerback, a redshirt freshman starting cornerback, and then a redshirt sophomore key backup. It's a very young group, and not just that, they are very young up front. I mean, Wisconsin had some great in-state defensive ends a year ago who were seniors, Alec James, Connor Sheehy, Chikwe Obashi. You take those guys away, and you're replacing them with redshirt freshmen and sophomores again. And part of the key of what made Wisconsin so good over the last couple of years was those guys up front generate a consistent heavy pass rush that forced quarterbacks to make quick decisions, to get rid of the ball quicker, maybe throw on the run, make those interception-like throws that Wisconsin's veteran secondary could take advantage of. And there was a handful of opportunities against Nebraska for interceptions. I mean, there was a couple on one drive, and balls were being dropped, not just by young players, but Dakota Dixon had one on the breadbasket and dropped it too. I mean, those are opportunities that in years past Wisconsin took advantage of, and they're not doing it this year, those very few advantages that they're getting. So people are going to point to the big hits that the secondary has given up. It's the whole unit, too. It's also a lack of an outside linebacker play. Zach Bond has been good, not great. Andrew Van Ginkle has been banged up, and he's their best pass rusher. But you can't put pressure on Nate Stanley and Adrian Martinez and let them sit back there. A lot of quarterbacks will be able to take advantage of a young secondary like Wisconsin has.
Wisconsin's a 9.5-point underdog at Ann Arbor. I can't remember the last time they've been this much of a dog in Big Ten play against anybody.
Well, it's been a while, certainly. I mean, you look at their record in Big Ten play, it's been pretty darn good. I think the point spread was 7.5 to start the week, and then it certainly has climbed up from there. And this is going to be a tough test. There's no question about it. This was a game that you kind of looked at the beginning of the year and said, okay, this was going to kind of be the coin flip game. This was going to be the game that was going to determine a lot of things. So this was, in a lot of people's opinion, they're going to be their first true test. And they've actually had a couple tests up to this point that maybe were a little bit more surprising for fans. The BYU game certainly was a huge disappointment for everyone involved around the Wisconsin program. And then they had a fight like hell a week later against Iowa and came out with a big win there late in a game they didn't play particularly well the first three quarters. So this is the second road game of the year. They're going against a good Michigan team that has kind of figured things out here the last 5 weeks. Can Wisconsin's offense put together a really good performance against a Michigan defense that's first nationally in total defense and first nationally against the pass? The offensive line played well last week. They need to play better this week to try to get Jonathan Taylor some running room to open up that offense, because anytime your offense is one-dimensional and you can't rely on your bread and butter, which is the run, it's never good news for a Wisconsin program. So the key will come down to offensively. It's going to have to be a shootout for the Badgers, I think, to win this game.
When they lost to BYU, I think it deflated a lot of people's, well, definitely the expectations. I mean, you're on the road against number 12 Michigan. You've still got Penn State on the road. Those would be two big wins if you're going to get yourself in that conversation at the end of the season. But after that BYU loss, we were talking about some of the comments with you that Alex Hornibrook made, where they weren't maybe as angry or as upset, but they were going to use it as a learning tool. Do you think that they've done that over the last couple of games? And does in some weird way, the loss to BYU help them focus on this weekend and this game against Michigan in some way?
I really don't think it does. I mean, that BYU loss was crushing, and it's not like BYU has turned it around and become this.
No, they suck.
One loss, they've stunk. I mean, they got crushed at Washington. They got pasted by Utah State at home. But I think it was like 45-34. It was something obscene that Utah State just absolutely hammered them. So that no matter how that's going to be diced, it's going to be a bad loss. And if you can stomach rewatching the game, you'll realize how bad of a loss it was. I mean, Wisconsin just played bad in all three phases. And you know, they turned it around a week later. You have to give them credit for that. And some of the players said that, you know, we don't win this game without what happened last week. Last week taught us about, you know, the importance of every little thing, grinding to the end, things like that. I think that that game is so far removed, though. And the fact that it happened at home, I think that this has got to be its own entity. I think people on this team are going to look at the game against Iowa as more of a confidence booster for this game, because, you know, that game, they did not play particularly well for the first three quarters, especially defensively. They gave up a lot defensively to Nate Stanley and Iowa the first three quarters. And then those final four drives or so, they really shut them down. A couple punts, an interception by T.J. Edwards, and then the end downs when Iowa went all full-on lateral on them to try to have a miracle score to make the game more presentable. I think that's the game you draw more from, that you could pull it together late and pull out a victory, than more so the BYU loss a couple weeks ago. But certainly, like you said in the beginning, this is the critical game for them. If they lose this game, they're done in terms of the college football playoff. They're not done in terms of the Big Ten, the Big Ten championship and the Rose Bowl and things like that. They're done in terms of making it into that four-team college football playoff, because there's no way a two-loss team is going to get in like Wisconsin with a loss to BYU on their resume.
He's on Twitter at the Badger Nation. You can find his work, BadgersInsider.com. Benny, always a pleasure. We will talk to you next week.
See you, Ben.
Have a good one, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.